In part 17 of our continuing series on marketplace ministry, we focused on how honor builds a house. And last Sunday, we were reminded of personal purity. And that spoke very deeply to me as well. But today, I want to speak a little about honor with the message entitled Vessels of Honor. The message is titled Vessels of Honor. And our key scripture is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you could please put the scripture up on the board, please, Gary. So our scripture is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. And it reads as follows. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified for and useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. As we can see, or as you may have noticed, the title for today's message has been extracted from chapter or verse 21. And in the New King James Version, it references vessels for honor. And within the NIV version, it states instruments. It says instruments for noble purposes. Instruments for noble purposes. So initially, it was instruments of honor, but it as I read different versions and I found the NKJV, vessels of honor is what the Lord started to expound and speak to me about. And so when I use the term instrument or vessel, I want you to understand that I will use these two terms interchangeably. So sometimes I will use the term instrument and sometimes the term vessel. Now the English word for instrument can be described as a device, a tool, or something that is used to achieve a specific purpose, produce music, or even measure quantities. While I reference these words or reference the word instrument, I do not reference the musical instruments strictly, but I reference instruments that are used in the hands of a craftsman, used to measure, to level, to build, or to construct something. But deeper than this, I reference an instrument or a vessel. When I speak about these things, I speak about us as the scripture speaks about us, the instruments and the vessels of God. So one of the definitions for the word vessel, and it's a broad term that typically describes a hollow container. So for those ladies, it's your Tupperware container, that bowl that you don't want to let out of your house. But in biblical times, it was that clay pot used for water, or it was used for cooking. But this is the one of the references. But the second reference, which I found very important and I found that I enjoyed much, was a person into whom some quality, such as grace, is infused. I love that definition. And that is the definition. And it was one of the things that confirmed to me that this is what the Lord wanted me to speak about. So the Greek word, and forgive me, I'm not a Greek scholar like Pastor is. The Greek word for a vessel or instrument is skios. And it means simply a vessel, an implement, a container, or an instrument. So we are on the same line. We're on the line here. We're not diverting away from Scripture, because Scripture is reminding us here that the different versions, it's an instrument, it's a vessel, or it is a container or article if you read different variations of the Scripture. So instruments, as I said, have varying uses, from building to measurement, surveying, or sculpting, just to name a few. But an instrument that is not correctly calibrated will not work correctly and will not be effective. So vessels or something that carry or convey something. In biological terms, we have blood vessels, and these blood vessels transport blood throughout our body, and they keep us alive. Vessels like ships and cargoes, they carry food and fuel around the world and ensure that we are able to trade effectively. Containers in your house, like your Tupperware container or the ice cream dish that you will take to the Father's Day lunch, that is another vessel. That is an additional vessel that helps us to carry food around. One thing I realized when I was preparing the study, and even before this, I realized something very important, is that we are all vessels. We all have the capacity to carry something. But I thought I'd just take a step back and just read for us what honor is. Honor is a quality that can be applied, placed, or bestowed on someone, right? We honor Papa, we honor Mama, we honor our parents. We can bestow this thing on someone. But honor is also a virtue or a quality by which one person lives. And this quality or this virtue, it informs the way we think, the way we act, and the way we behave. This is the quality of honor. So as I said to you earlier, is that I've come to the realization that we are all vessels. All people in the world are vessels. We all have the capability and the innate ability to carry something. I like to refer to it as the God-shaped hole. I've heard it. I can't remember who was the origin of this, but where we keep searching for God because there's something missing within us. And until we find that thing, until we connect with God and He fills that, we will always be empty. And so what believers carry, what I realize also essentially is that what believers carry in the vessel is different from what an unbeliever carries. What someone within the church carries is different from what someone without the church carries. So the substance at the core of the vessel is different, and even the quality of the substance at the core of this vessel is very different. So I also realize that the source of the contents of this vessel is very different. What fills us up is very different. Some people are filled up by social media, chatting, being social, whatever. Some of us are filled up by the Word of God. We are filled up by the Spirit of God. And I'm not condemning anyone, please. I also have a social media account or three, right? So, but what I'm saying is what fills us up, different from us, outside of the church and inside of the church. What we must understand is that the quality of the substance of the vessel or what is inside or what even comes out of this vessel is largely dependent on the source. So whatever you get coming from outside determines what flows out of you. That's what we need to understand. Whatever fills you up is the thing that you will release. So in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21, Paul draws a distinction between two types of vessels. It says, one for honor and the other is for dishonor. But the similarity between these two vessels is that they are both in the house. So that was a very sobering distinction or realization for me, is that two vessels, one for honor, one for dishonor, but both in the house. So we got to understand, this immediately brought this to mind, that in a house, a church, a covering, there can be vessels of honor and dishonor. It is possible to be in the house and be a vessel for ignoble purposes, not noble purposes. So that's according to the NIV, states it like that. It is possible to be a vessel that is useful to God, but it's also possible to be a vessel that is not useful to God. It's a really sobering thought, as I said. So it means that, to bring it closer to home, it means that we can be in the church and still live a dishonorable life. Introspection, that's what I said to you earlier. It caused me to engage in introspection. Besides the blaring obvious things, what are the small things? What are the things in my life that I need to make sure are not spoiling what's in the vessel? You see, the lady with the that had to borrow the vessels had to borrow clean vessels. She had to borrow clean vessels. Because you cannot pour clean, pure oil into dirty vessels. So one of the analogies I thought of was this. Have you ever tried to pour water into a bucket with holes? As soon as you pour into the one end, it comes out of the other. Now, the Lord has called us to be holy vessels, but not that kind of holy vessels. We are not supposed to leak like that. We are not called to be those type of vessels. Have you ever perhaps tried a thermometer? If you have children and you've used a thermometer, have you ever tried to cut a tree with a blunt saw? Use your phone when it's on 1%. That's the most frustrating thing. Trying to send a message and there's 1% left on your phone. It's not very effective. The phone or the instrument will not be very effective. If the instrument is not in proper working order, it will not function correctly. It will not give you the correct reading. Now, I'm stressing this point and I'm laboring this. I used to work in a warehouse, and we had to weigh stuff. So you determined the quantity of the box by the weight. But if the scale was uncalibrated, that means you could send extra goods or you could send less goods. So I want us to understand that calibration is very important. Calibration is very, very important. We must be calibrated by the Word as instruments of God. We must ensure that we are properly in tune. We must be on the right frequency. Radio is another instrument. For guys like Jeremy and who embark on quantity surveying, their equipment needs to be in pristine working order. So you will not get the correct readings. But what does it mean to be an instrument or a vessel of God or a vessel of honor? Well, vessels of honor come to the master empty. What do I mean by that? And I'll clarify this just now. But as soon as I typed this out, I remembered in school, mostly to me, they would say, empty vessels make the most noise. Right? I'm not sure how true that is. Maybe that's why I enjoy talking so much. But they used to say, empty vessels make the most noise. But in this case, this is a good thing. The vessel must be empty. You cannot come to God carrying all of the hurt, all of the shame, all of the unforgiveness, all of the things from your past life. The vessel must be empty. In order for any vessel to have any carrying capacity, the vessel must be empty. There must be space to take more. If it is full, it will not have space for anything else. God cannot use a vessel that is full of self. I want us to understand that is God cannot make use of a vessel that is full of themselves. And sometimes being full of ourselves is that we come to the Lord and say, I can handle this. We come to the Lord and say, this far and no further. We come to the Lord and say, I will keep my secret boyfriend or girlfriend. Not me, but you know what I'm saying. Right? But we say to the Lord, we say, you know, I will keep this secret friend or whatever. I will keep these things about me. I will keep my attachments to previous, you know, relationships or friends or circles or whatever, when we know that God is saying, come to me, I need you. But we want to keep attachments to these things. So that's what I mean, where we need to come to God empty. He cannot fill us if we are full of ourselves. Some of us are so, who we were previously is a status. We had a status because of the reputation we carried. But God says, come to me and be of no reputation. And then we cannot empty ourselves of this. We cannot divest of ourselves. I love when Pastor uses those words, divest. I always write them down. Being an English teacher, I always take notice of words like that. But I love the fact that it means to rid yourself, to strip away. You've got to divest yourself of yourself. Right? You've got to empty the vessel. So, as I said, in this case, it is very important to be an empty vessel. Secondly, vessels of honor are able to engage in introspection. We are able, as vessels of honor in the house of God, able to look at ourselves and say, I am behaving dishonorably. I am behaving in a way that is not congruent, that does not coalesce. One of the words that Pastor used last week is coalesce. It's not coalescent with the life of a believer, with the Son of God more particular, right? It is we are able to look at our lives and be able to gauge those things and gauge the true condition of a vessel. What is, and especially when I think of the earthen vessels, the true condition of the vessel is not determined by the outside. Because the vessel can look used, it can look scraped, it can look chipped, but the inside can be smooth. We do not store the contents outside. We store the contents inside of the container. Many times we look at a polished person and we say, ooh, that one. Ow. But he wore his Christmas clothes that service. That's what we need to understand. It's the Christmas clothes that he wore. That's why he looks like that one. And we've got to understand it's not the outside. That's the veneer. The inside is what counts. What is going on inside? What's the internal condition? If I pour myself into you, am I just going to be tainted because you're going to pour back into me? Is there something that is purity in you that when I pour myself and you pour back into me, we are not tainting each other? That is why we've got to engage in introspection, but we've also have to have. We have to have discernment in the relationships that we engage in. We engage in relationships, we engage with people, but we really realize, and that's what Pastor just said earlier, is that some relationships, we really realize that these are God-ordained relationships. But if you're not connected to the Father, it's going to be difficult to connect to your Father. Because this was all a process that God was bringing me to the house to connect with my Father. But if I did not correctly esteem Him and want to draw near Him, then I would have lost the opportunity to connect with my Father and my family. So I really think it's very important that we, as vessels, as we come to the Father, we need to purge ourselves of everything that is contrary to God's law. Everything that is contrary to God, we need to purge ourselves and important that we evaluate the relationships that we are engaged in. You know, some relationships require us just to constantly pour and leave you empty. The friend who calls and only wants to speak to you when they're having an issue with their boyfriend, right? I can hear the laughs. They tell me I'm on the money. Thank you, Lord. But yeah, that's what we need to look out for. The colleague who sometimes comes into your office only when they want to complain. What are they doing? They're pouring the wrong stuff into your container, into your vessel. Close the lid. Right? So vessels, the third thing I want to mention about vessels, or how we become, or what it means to be an instrument or vessel of honor, is that vessels of honor have the capacity for the Spirit of God. This is very, very important. Vessels of honor, because they've emptied themselves, because they've divested themselves of themselves, have capacity for the Spirit of God. They have capacity for the Spirit of God. They empty themselves of themselves, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we often run towards the filling of the Holy Spirit. But how can the filling of the Holy Spirit happen when the vessel is clogged with the cares of this world, the issues of life, and all of the issues that we have with different people in our lives? We've got to make sure that we make space for the Holy Spirit. Vessels of honor make space for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to dwell within them. They become a fountain of the Word of God. You don't need to wait for someone to pick you up and pour. You are spilling over. Your cup runs over with the Word of God because of what you consume. Your source is correct, and that is why you are able to flow with the Word of God. They become vessels that convey and carry the Word of God to their work, to their universities, to their schools, to their homes, to their office, or to their business context. And that is what we do. As we come every week, we are filled. We go out and we take this word with us, and we take it to the workplaces. And when someone needs comfort, we pour a little. When someone needs advice, we pour a little. When someone needs to be calmed down, we say, in Jesus' name, calm down. Right? We pour a little. Right? So we as vessels, we have this Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, but we are able to give. And just like the lady in the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4, the oil doesn't run out because of the source. The oil never runs out because of the source. We are constantly pouring out, but the source never runs out. The source never runs dry. That's also because we're connected to the source, but we are connected to His Word, and we are connected with His Spirit. So we need to make sure that we are vessels who are empty. We are vessels who have capacity for the Spirit of God. And we must make sure, point number four, as I have already covered in some degree, is we pour into others. We have enough inside of us to pour into others. And we must remember that. You know, sometimes when I hear that, you know, sometimes at school you hear there's so many absentees, you almost want to turn and just, you know, creep out of the office. But the Spirit of God says, stand correct, because you need to help there. You know, sometimes you volunteer yourself for two sessions, but you do it because you know you want to pour into others. You want to give into others. It is not just the school that I give to, it's the learners that I give to when I sacrifice my time, when we sacrifice our time for the fitness mornings because we want to pour into others. It's not because I just enjoy getting up early on a Saturday morning, baking for hours on a Friday night, but it's because of what it does to those children, the joy it brings them. The distraction we can give them from their daily lives, it's pouring. And that's what we need to remember. And sometimes the pouring may feel like a sacrifice, but the vessel is being refilled. Amen. That's what I want you to understand, is that the vessel will be refilled. God has enough capacity to fill your vessel. Now, as sons of God, we are vessels, and we carry His Spirit into a very dark, thorny work environment that are sometimes very antagonistic to God's purposes, as we've learned. And this is how sons of light of vessels and how we carry our light into the world. You see, sons of light take that light into the dark environment and we shine it through. We take the balm, the healing balm of Gilead, and we apply it. That's what we carry with us. We bring the light of God the Father of lights, into our environments. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 to 7, it says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." And it just reminded me that sometimes that is why we are positioned in dark environments. Because he's commanding light to shine out of that environment. Taking a little bit of preacher's license here. But I'm applying the word to our daily lives. Is that he sometimes positions us. I was so excited when I got the call and was told I've been given a permanent post. When I went to school, I almost ran away. Because contextually, it was different to the school I had come from. I battled through a lot of it. But through the teachings, I realized that God has positioned me as a son in the system. To become a virus in the system in a good way. We must remember that. In a good way. Positioned me to bring light as a son of light. That is what God has done. So he has commanded light to shine out of dark. So sometimes when you're in your position, in your place, in your work environment, and you think, "Lord, why me?" Because that happened to me a lot. And some days it does, because there are people, there are children, there are spirits that are antagonistic to the Spirit of God. They just don't want to see things go nicely. They can't have new toys. They want to see it broken. But this is what why God has brought us there, to shine in the darkness. And not all of our environments are like that. But perhaps there is darkness in one, and God wants you to shine into that darkness. So I want you to remember that. So he commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. So he's not sending you there without resourcing you. You are his lamp in that place. The instrument, the lamp, you are shining. To give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, where? In earthen vessels. In jars of clay, said the NIV. We have it in earthen vessels. This light, this ability to shine forth, this ability to add light, illumination to a dark environment, we have it in this earthen vessel. We have it within us. So we must remember that if we do not have space, we do not have space for the light. If you're not connected to the source, the plug, then you will not have light. We will not be able to exude light. There will not be light flowing from our hearts. There will be darkness flowing from our hearts. That's what we need to remember. We have the innate technology to house the light of God and to shine it forth to the world, to our dark environments. So instruments, the next point I'd like to speak about is how instruments set the standard. When we allow ourselves to be instruments for noble purposes, God is able to set the standard through us. When we become the standard, the measure, and the plumb line in the home, the workplace, and even socially, when we are connected to Him, we become that standard. People look to us. That's why when you make a mistake or you say something that is contrary, they say, you, son of God. So we must remember that we become the standard. People look up to us. We are the measurement. We become the true north, directing people to the Father. And if we are not calibrated correctly, we will we will go off course ourselves and we will lead others off course. So we must remember that as well, as instruments of noble purposes. Do you know that instruments in the hand of, as instruments in the Word of God, we determine the course of our organization just because we are connected to God. We can determine the course of our organization because we are able to come into the system and we are able to bring standards into the organization. We are able to help people to see the light. We are able to help people see where they are transgressing. And we do it humbly. A broken compass will not be able to give you a correct direction. It will give you a false reading and you will be led in the wrong direction. An unsharpened pencil will not be able to help you to write your sermon. And I often do that. Is if you look at my sermon notes, after I've printed it and I read it, I start writing all over the notes because I feel other impressions that the Lord is saying. And then as an English teacher, you correct your own grammar. You underline keywords. So all of that. But I remembered when I prepared this message, a very interesting quote from Mother Teresa. And the quote said, I'm a little pencil in God's hands. He does the thinking. He does the writing. He does everything. And sometimes it's really hard because it is a broken pencil and he has to sharpen it a little more. You know that many people want to be the authors of their own story. And they want God to sometimes play a cameo role. You know, a cameo role is a uncredited role where you just come in, show your face on camera, and you go. All right. They want God to play a cameo role in their lives now and again. And there's often very little credit given to God. And today in society, there's a quote doing the rounds that says, God is in the story. I'm sure you used it already. God is in the story. I've seen a lot of people use that on social media. But how about we change that to God is the author of the story? You see, we want him to be in the story on our terms. We will write you in, God. You come and save the day. When I need you, you come through. But we need him to be the author. We are the pencil in his hand. We are the instrument, as Mother Teresa says. So we need to remember to position ourselves in his hand. We do not come to God with dictates and say to him, this is how I think my life should go. And this is the partner. Well, we can give him some specifications. Please do give him specifications. But there are certain things where we must just trust God for what he is doing. If he is withholding, if he is not writing, if he is erasing, if he is removing, if he is replacing, if he is connecting you to a higher voltage, be open to that. Remember to change it and be like Mother Teresa and say, I'm an instrument in the hand of God. Another thing that we must remember about vessels of honor is that vessels of honor continuously carry God with them. We are not like the ones who say, God is in the story on Sunday, but on Monday we left him at church. We have to be of the company that says, God is the main character in the story. We carry him wherever we go. We are instruments for every good work. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21 reminds us that those who cleanse themselves of the latter, and the latter being those deeds, the actions, those things that dishonor God, they will be useful to the master. You see, we often are waiting for God to do something, but God also wants us to take that first step. Cleanse yourself. Remove it. Like we said with Tobiah, get the stuff out of the room. Get it out of yourself. We've got to empty ourselves. It's our responsibility. You see, in the scripture it says, those who cleanse themselves. Not God will cleanse those vessels and make them honorable. So he wants to see something from our part. That we are saying, okay, Lord, I realize that you have held a mirror up to my life and you've showed me that these are the areas that I am falling short in. And now I take the step forward and I delete her number and I delete this and I stop talking to these people and I get into your word. Amen. So many people waiting for God to do the work, but he cannot use the vessel that is full of themselves or full of the world. He is not willing to use a person who is not willing to empty themselves of the things that prevent them from serving God fully. I've often heard the saying, and I've used it myself, come just as you are. Yes, that is true. Come just as you are. But remember, do not stay the same. Do not stay the same. Come just as you are. We must come as we are. But we must remember to empty ourselves. Leave everything at the foot of the cross. There is no literal cross here, but we get up and we say, Lord, I take all of these things and I give it to you. Yes. The issues with unforgiveness, I give it to you. The issues with pride, I give it to you. The issues with the fact that they don't like me, I give it to you. The issue with the fact that they don't accept me, I give it to you. So I'm asking you, church, as Romans says, we are meant to put on Christ like a garment in Romans 13, 14. You must let go of everything that is hindering you from progressing in Christ Jesus. You must let go of yourself. Let go. Tell your neighbor, say, let go. Let go. Let go. Let go of the person who hurt you and be able to trust God to send someone who loves you. Let go of the fact that people don't accept you wherever you go. Let go of the fact that you are not understood at times. We go home sometimes and we mull over things. Oh, Lord, why won't they do this? Why won't they accept me? Why won't they hold me? But God is saying, I'm holding you. You are my instrument. I've often heard Pastor say about in his trip in Lilongwe that the way you father people is that even if people don't accept your fathering, you father them. You've got to father them as well. And that, for us, is spreading the love of Christ abroad. We may not have our own sons, but we love those who may not esteem us properly, who may not hold us in the same regard. They may not see us on the same level. My colleague often says, you're not in my league. She often says that to the learners. You're not in my league. We're not in the same league. But we are in the same league. We are fathers of the same, we are sons of the same father. Amen. Jesus is my brother and father. And so he is my Savior as well. Amen. Sometimes we must be like Elsa. We must let it go. We have to let it go. For those of you with little girls, you understand that one. We have to let it go. Because if we don't release and let these things go, we will not be filled up. We cannot do the work of God if the vessel is not prepared, if it is not ready, and if it is not cleansed. The instrument or the vessel can only be used according to its degree of usefulness. If the vessel is full, then it cannot be used. If the instrument is faulty, it cannot be used correctly. Dean, if you could please put the graphic up. The one with the two bowls that are full of fruit. I'm not sure if you can see that. So, according to, you know, sometimes the vessel is full of pride, it is full of anger, is full of lust, unforgiveness, hatred, or whatever else is full, contrary to the word of God. We need to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. We have issues where we've held on to unforgiveness from a spouse or a family member or anyone who has not accepted you fully. Let it go. Let it go. Perhaps they've passed you up on certain things. Let it go. If you keep bitterness in the vessel, it will continue to contaminate the vessel. And it will be difficult for God to use the contaminated vessel. I just want to remind us that we've just got to let things go. If they do not forgive us, it's okay. We express forgiveness. We must let go of unforgiveness. Because what will happen is the fruit will rot. I don't understand why the chili is still red like that, Tim. But maybe it's because anger burns, eh? Right. We must remember that the vessel has to be empty. Let the Holy Spirit cleanse you. Be cleansed by the Holy Spirit. Then let the vessel be filled by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, all of these virtues, patience. That is a life that is full of the Spirit. That is a life full of the Spirit. When we are full of the Spirit of God, that's when these things flow from us. If we want to be prepared for every good work, like Ephesians 2:10 says, then we have to empty the vessel. We live in a world and a time, an era, where self is glorified a lot. We live in an era of self. Self-discovery and not forgetting selfies. Right. Right. We live... the world and the people of the world are too full of self. Self-glorification is the state of modern society today. The modern man is too preoccupied with self-actualization. We want to get to the pinnacle of who we are meant to be. But can I tell you that we cannot reach our full potential outside of Christ. We will never reach our full potential outside of Christ Jesus. What we must understand is the more space that self occupies means the less space there is for God. Instead, we should apply the John 3 verse 30 principle. He must grow greater. He must become greater. And I must become less. But I thank God that there is hope. There is hope. And that God says that He can take the dishonorable vessel and He can make it honorable. Even if it is made for ignoble purposes, He can change that same vessel and make it used for noble purposes. Out of our natural understanding, we cannot comprehend that. If you met people who knew me 10 years ago, not 10 years, but 20 years ago, They would say, "This is Selwyn." They would not believe it. But because the vessel was taken from ignoble to noble purposes by the hand of God. By the same potter who made him, the potter who formed me, knew that he set me apart for noble purposes, but I chose ignoble purposes. But he brought me back because I said, "I come to the end of myself." And that's where we need to be. We need to come to the end of ourselves. We need to leave self behind. Come to the end of ourselves. Tell your neighbor, say, empty the vessel. Empty the vessel. The vessel needs to be emptied. It's really time for us to do introspection. What's inside of the vessel? So, as instruments, we are meant to be instruments of proper appraisal. If the instrument is not working correctly, it cannot give you the correct reason, reading. As an instrument of God, we are called by the Lord to properly appraise and correctly estimate others. Properly appraise and correctly estimate others, especially those in the house. So my appraisal of you needs to be correct. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5 and 16, says, therefore, we no longer recognize no man or no one after the flesh, sorry, according to the flesh, even though we once we knew Christ in this way, according to the flesh, yet we know him this way no longer. When I see you, my estimation of you must be child of God. Pastor already expounded or alluded to this, and I won't go further on this, but I need you to understand that when we see each other, we see Christ. We see Son of God. That's what we need to see. And sometimes when we get close like this as family, you are able to see the blemishes. We are able to see each other's blemishes. But I'm asking you that we need to look past that. You say, this guy looks so good in photos, but now when I sit next to him, it's not so. Right? We got to understand that. Is that we all have issues. We all have the things that the Lord is still working on. Right? The bumper sticker, God's not done with me yet. Right? But we must see the Spirit of God within our brothers and sisters. That's what we need to remember. So in the book of Genesis, Gary, if you could please put it up, Genesis chapter 29, verse 13 and 14. I'll just read two verses of that scripture. Laban, so it says, then it came to pass when Laban heard the report that Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and he embraced him and kissed him and brought him to the house. So he told Laban all these things. Next verse, please. And Laban said to him, surely you are bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. Well, we all know it was longer than a month, but he stayed with him. But the emphasis I want to make here is, surely you are my bone and my flesh. Laban meets Jacob for the first time, and he says, surely you are my bone and my flesh. Laban regarded him as family. In fact, he said, closer, you are my flesh and blood. You are my very own. You emanate from me. You and I are the same. You are mine. There's no distinction between us. He appraised him correctly. But while Jacob continued to work for Laban, Laban realized Jacob's economic value. He realized that this guy brings great riches towards me. And just a couple of chapters later, but we know it was years later in Genesis chapter 31, when Jacob tries to leave Laban, Laban pursues him with all of his relatives for 7 days. Why does he do this? I believe it is because Laban's estimation of Jacob was strictly economical. It has changed from flesh and blood to my economical advancement. You are my progression in the marketplace. You are my stepping stone. You are the one who will help me to marketplace ascendancy. But his attitude and his heart was incorrect. He changed his appraisal of that. And what I want to remind us as we speak about marketplace ascendancy is that we must not, as sons of God, use people as economic advancement tools. People are not economic advancement tools. Oh, I sit with you because you are an HOD and I know you're going to put a good word in for me when a post becomes available. Oh, I sit with you because I know that you will help me to meet with these bigwigs. I I sit with you because I know that you will help me to get a tender. We must remember that our relationships are never based on economic principles. Yes. Never on economic principles, but on kingdom principles. How can I pour into you? How can I build you up? How can I be a friend? How can I be a brother? How can I be a son? That's what we need to remember. That people are not tools for economic ascendancy. You see, the difference between Laban and Daniel and Mishael, Azariah, and Azariah is the fact that they never went searching for promotion. They went searching for a solution. How can we solve the issue? Daniel went, how can I find a solution? Let me go to the God of heaven. Let me go to my Father. And that's what we need to understand. We don't go into a workplace and say, okay, who's over 50? Yeah, they need to make sure they start moving so that I can, you know. In teaching circles, there's a joke about that. They say that old ones must move so that we can. Yeah, it's a cutthroat world out there. So we must remember, we're not moving people out. We are looking at older people and getting the grace and learning from them. And we are also being sons to them. We are also showing them that we can listen, that we can hear them, that we care about them. And that's the primary thing. We care about people. As sons of God, that is our quality, is that we care about people. We don't go and speak to people because we're bored. We go because we want to engage you on the level of Christ. We want to engage you and we want to draw you closer to Christ. We want to go and we want to build covenantal bonds with you. Amen. We are also discerning and we are able to see those who we need to perhaps move away from. That's another thing. But what I want us to remember is that our colleagues should be seen as co-workers, helpers, and potential kingdom citizens. They are people who can be won for the kingdom. That is why God has brought us to that workplace. Our view of work should be a view of the mission field. How can I showcase Christ so that I can draw more unto Him? I will bring God forward so that they will see Christ and they will want the life of Christ. They will want Him. They will desire Him. We must look at it as a place where others can be liberated from their afflictions. A place where others can come to know salvation through you and I. What we must understand is that we carry a healing balm. A balm that soothes and heals. But if we are not connected to the correct source, it can be a destructive asset. We can be carrying something that is contrary, and we can erode the people around us. Yes. As we draw towards a close, I just want you to remind your neighbor, what's in the vessel? What's in the vessel? What's inside the vessel? What's inside the vessel? Because it's time to empty it out. If it's not anything contrary to the word of God, we let it out. As instruments of God, we must correctly appraise our brothers and sisters. That's another lesson I learned from this, from the Genesis chapter 29 account, is that we need to correctly esteem and appraise each other. Many people can't see their brothers and sisters in church as families because they have not evaluated them correctly and they have not elevated them to the status of family. We see each other still simply as this one and that one. But we've got to see the connection that is God between us. We've got to see that we are family. That in crisis, I know that I'll be able to call you. I know that I'll be able to call on a brother or a sister. I know that when I have an issue in my life, there's someone who is petitioning God on my behalf. All the instruments in the house become related. all members become parts of one body. There's a consummation and an invisible joining that takes place, which translates us and transforms us from members to family. When we accept Christ, we are translated, we are transformed from members of a church to family. And it's one of the things that drew us was the family ethos which exists within this house. We were so happy to be engrafted into the family of God. That's why we came for supper one day and never left. You know, those family members coming to Durban for one, just a 2 days, never to leave, right? You know, you have that family. We are that family. But now we've been engrafted into this family. We are co-workers in for our Father in this part of His vineyard. So as I draw to a close, I want us to remember that many instruments are designed to be used by the hand of the builder, the surveyor, the carpenter, or whatever craftsman uses them. We are instruments of God. We are meant to carry out divine purposes. Instruments are made to be handled by the Master. We do not determine our use. We simply avail ourselves to the Father for His service. In chapter 9 of Acts, when Saul was called by God, God said that he is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the Gentiles. You and I are God's chosen instruments to carry His name in our workplaces, our social circles, and the world. But we must remember that if the instrument is uncalibrated, if it is weighed down with life, the lust of the flesh, if the vessel is full of itself, then it will be difficult for God to use it. We must empty ourselves of ourselves. We must be filled with the Father. And then we will be instruments for noble purposes. We'll be vessels of honor. The choice is ours this morning as we reflect on the word. Is that, do we want to live a life where we are half effective, only a little effective? Or do we want to live a life where we are fully effective instruments of God in the hand of God, fulfilling His purposes in the world, useful to the Master and prepared for every good work? God needs instruments on this earth to accomplish His purposes, and we are those instruments. Amen. Thank you, Church.